Namo Buddha, Namo Dharma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dharma, Namo Sangha. Namo Buddha, Namo Dharma, Namo Sangha. Let's begin by a little practice of breathing in and breathing out. I'm going to take you on a little ride. We will continue with the Tonglen practice. And we need to establish ourselves in this simple, undistracted presence. Simple, undistracted presence, as if we were offering to this beautiful life all the attention that it merits. You see this body that we are breathing with, we call it in Mahamudra the palace of the Buddha, the palace of the deity. The deity is timeless awareness. And when we go through the physical senses, like breathing in, feeling how it is that the body is breathing in, how it is that the body is breathing out. And how the whole body participates in that. Then actually, this awareness flows into every cell of the body. A cell is not a cell. A cell is an energy field, again. It is the awareness fully inhabiting this palace of a Buddha. To the fingertips, just under the toenails, the back of the head, everywhere. All the places we forget, the same way. Maybe there are places of the body whom we haven't visited, which we haven't visited for a long time. Let's go there. Let's breathe with them. Let them participate in the breathing. Deep down into the pelvis, traveling up the spine, the top of the head. Fully breathing. Fully embodied awareness. So let the awareness ride on the breath. And if you may, yes, be the breathing experience. Be one with it. The importance is just to be undistracted. With compassionate care, breathing in. With loving kindness, breathing out. And remember that luminous space in which everything happens. Remember that space of self-liberation. Breathing happens in that space. And now, first of all, we take care of ourselves. Wherever you feel a little tension, a little uneasiness, compassionately open up to it, using the in-breath as a symbol. Allowing it to arise in this space of self-liberation. Maybe that is already enough, this full acceptance and seeing its true nature as being insubstantial. But let's make the cycle complete. Let's offer loving kindness exactly to that place, to that being, to that dimension of experience, where there is or there was some kind of stress, some kind of suffering. Loving kindness in the form of light rays or whatever you can imagine. Can be a warm nectar, a loving nectar of awareness, flowing through the area of experience. And this can be embodied, you might feel it in the body. But it can also be a dimension of memory, something that we remember, something of the past. It can be an image of ourselves. So the loving care flows and touches our deepest nature, the so-called Buddha nature. And it is being received. Symbolically, at the end of the out-breath. So we breathe in, already with a different feeling of ourselves. We feel a little bit more loved, more free. Some of the light rays are being accepted. And there is a learning which happens there. Because we learn just what kind of support is accepted and what kind of support is refused or is not acknowledged. So, breathing in with that understanding, in that open space, then with the next offering, the next shedding going out, we offer exactly that which can be accepted, exactly that which is wished for. If someone receives a message like, leave me alone, then it is exactly that which we offer. We offer that space. This is love. Love does not impose itself. And then you feel the relief of not being manipulated. And we breathe with that. And there might be more layers now that are being felt. And you continue breathing in with compassionate care, letting it all arise in self-liberating wisdom. And breathing out with loving care. And each of these phases can be as long as you wish. There's no need to fit them into one breathing cycle. Then we conclude this practice, breathing in those qualities of the experience that feels more free, maybe already well connected with our Buddha nature. Trusting it, trusting the deeper ground of our being. And it seems that to many of you that feels good. But nevertheless, don't cling to that. This is how mind is. It is healing so quickly. When the right kind of care comes, healing is very quick. Some of you have already opened the eyes. The others I invite to do so, to move the body a little bit. Why we move the body, you know, huh? To break the spell. To get out of the trance. Always these guided meditations, I'm sorry, one tries not to manipulate, but of course, it is inducing mental states. I'm sorry, but sharing one's own experience, one is always inducing an experience in others. Yes, this is what happens. If you tell me how you feel, yes, already, while you're sharing your experience, you induce an experience in me. Now, when you do this with this nice, calm voice and leaving little spaces, you know, maybe we are doing a hypnotherapy or something like this. No, we are not doing it. We are not doing it. You always have the chance to go your own way. You're always free to choose another way. You can put earplugs also if you want. You can always leave the room. You can just decide, no, for me breathing is enough. Whatever. Please feel free. But it is a mind-to-mind transmission which is happening. So, yes, it is needed that I go into this very sensitive state to speak words to your heart, mind, and then you receive that. And if it is appropriate, then it works. It's not appropriate for everybody. It can never be appropriate to everybody. This would be an illusion. Yes, it's not, can be, but okay. So, we did a little bit taking care of ourselves. Huh? And you saw that I did it a little bit. The words for the in-breath, I chose more the compassion, and for the out-breath, it was more the love, because yesterday I was doing it the opposite. And somehow this is much more fitting the way I do it today. Yes, the compassionate taking, the compassionate care on the in-breath, and the loving care on the out-breath. So I don't know what happened yesterday. It has never happened to me before, but I didn't even notice it until Leela talked to me about it. So, if you want to learn it in a structured way, easier to connect the taking, the receiving, to compassion, because compassion is the wish, may all beings be free from suffering. And with this wish, with this one of the four immeasurables, we open up to whatever is a little bit heavy in ourselves or in others. And with the out-breath, we lovingly support them in being happy. So it goes with the first immeasurable, may all beings be happy and have the causes of happiness. We do this with the joy of receiving and sharing. That in itself is a joy. There's great joy in being able to meet suffering without fear. There's great joy in that. Great joy in opening up to what we usually run away from. And it's so easy because of the fourth immeasurable. That's the space, the equanimity. This luminous space is the fourth immeasurable of equanimity, free of all clinging and aversion. And then, when there is no fighting and clinging, then of course everything liberates. That's anicca, that's how it flows. That's naturally happening. So, this is how we connect the four immeasurables with this very familiar experience of breathing. And they are our resource. These qualities are what make the healing. All healing happens from those qualities. Whatever you do in psychotherapy, it will always be that. You can't do it differently. Equanimity means understanding. Love means understanding what makes happy. Compassion is understanding what creates the suffering. And joy means understanding that it's not a big deal. Some of you have maybe done focusing, for example, and you always, every time one is surprised when this shift happens, you feel it in the whole body, body, mind, experience this shift of vision, and you ask yourself, why didn't it happen before? It's so easy. And it happens because one is listening to the messages in the body, one connects them with the emotional contents, the emotional meaning, the felt sense, if some of you know what I'm talking about, the felt sense of the physical sensation, and the loving awareness, which accepts that, is doing the healing. The shift is there. And we're only talking about shifts. The whole Dharma is just a series of shifts, which together give a mega shift. Yes. It's a shift from self-centered awareness to panoramic awareness. It's a shift from I to we. Yes. Not the other, not altruism, not egoism to altruism. It's a shift into the we awareness. Well, this is not new to you. But this is what Tonglen is doing. And now I will explain you the next step. Obviously, we are going to work with what we think are others. You will work with your grandmother, for example. You think she is that grandmother that you knew. For many of us, probably we don't have anymore. Some have. Some of you are young, and it's fortunate if you still have grandmothers. Both of them died in our house. Both of them lived with us, so I have the experience of being with them until their last minute. And how beautiful is that? Yes? So, now what is my grandmother? She is an image in my mind, right? It's a whole lot of memories, isn't it? I can see both of their faces. Yes, they are here now. I can see them as I talk to you. They're both there. And I'm not confused about it. It's not them. It's my memory of them. Okay? So, whoever you will choose to work with, if it is your beloved child or partner or whoever it is, then we are actually working with an image of that person in our mind. We are not working with the other person. Okay? Very important to understand. You think you do Tonglen with Trump, you know, or Putin, or, you know, of course we do Tonglen with them. But we work with the image we have of them. It's not them. It's just what we think is them. They would completely refuse to be identified with what image we have of them. Putin doesn't like when I see him as a traumatized child. He doesn't like that. Okay? It's not, he doesn't feel well with that. But for me, in my relationship with him, it's very helpful. And it opens a sphere of understanding that makes it so much easier for me not to close my heart to this guy or whoever we choose now. Huh? You put your favorite one in the slot. Yes? You put your favorite ones into the slot and you will see you're working with your own idea of what is the so-called other. And this is the only way you can do it for this practice not to become dualistic. Okay? We are not working with a separate outer world. Okay? All of this is in our own mind. We are working with appearances in our own mind. That what appears when we think of the other person. And we deal with it in exactly the same way that we deal with that which is obviously our own mind. I mean, that which we experience as our own suffering or happiness before we think of someone else. Probably some of you, if not all of you, you have lived some separation. Okay? Separation in love relationships, painful, losing beloved ones, painful, you know? And this happens in mind. And it's very clear because it's the bridge. Something happens outside, but it's felt inside. Now, if we worry about someone, we worry about a person, that person doesn't feel the same worry as us, but we worry, and we are connected. We have an idea about what might be going wrong with the grandchildren, with one of them, or what, you know, like we have an idea, we have a feeling, we think this feeling is connected to the other person, but it's all part of our own world, of our own scenario. And this is the way we deal with the whole world. In the Dharma, we never separate inside and outside. Whatever I feel about you, for example, is all my stuff. Okay? I have to deal with that. I deal with it as my own feelings. It's not your feelings. I'm only resonance. And this resonance happening in my organism is very much influenced, extremely influenced by my own upbringing, by my own sympathies, by my own, you know, biography, the things I could already relate to, and other things I don't even perceive because I haven't yet developed the antenna for that. So I don't resonate with that. It's not yet part of my world. So this process of Tonglen, we will extend it to the whole world. That's the idea. But we understand it in, we extend it in the understanding that the world is the world of my experience. Okay? Now, some people, when they hear about Tonglen, then they take it as a means, maybe I can heal someone by doing Tonglen for the person. And yes, you hear such explanations. And yes, it sometimes happens, actually, yes. But it doesn't happen very often. It's not that it is actually the intention of the practice to manipulate the outside world. No, no. We work in this resonance and we liberate everything that comes into this resonance. And thus we become such an open field. Such an open field of love, compassion, wisdom, that whatever is connected with us also resonates. Okay? And then it depends on the karmic patterns, the habitual patterns of the other fields that resonate with us, what is possible in there. Like, what is, if there is a little gap, if there is a little opening where there's not so much clinging, then a surprise can happen. Even with, patients, people lying in coma, far gone, when one sits next to them and practices and goes into this resonance, for example, what I used to do is follow their breathing and be really on their body, be really like as if their body was my body, And if you go into this resonance, they resonate. One time in Brazil, one of my first visits in southern Brazil, in Porto Alegre, one young man came in, your age. Yes? This young man was going to visit his grandma in hospital, and she had been in coma for 3 weeks. And he said, "What can I do?" And I was a young Buddhist monk visiting Brazil for the first time. And I said, oh, maybe you recite the mantra of the medicine Buddha. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I will do that. Give me the mantra." I gave him the mantra of the medicine Buddha. And he went to the hospital. He hadn't taken refuge. He wasn't in the Bodhisattva path. It was the first time he met a Buddhist in his life, But he had this full confidence, and he recited the medicine Buddha with so much love and devotion next to his grandma that while he was doing it, she came back to senses. You know, things like that happen. But I don't really believe it was the mantra. I believe it was more his love and his devotion and, creating a field, And then maybe that was just a moment where she could resonate. She wasn't so far gone. So there was a possibility to resonate. And like this, sometimes things happen. Okay? There would be a lot to be said about this. But the most important is that we work with our own mind. And that we use the self-liberation to the limits. No hesitation. Whatever comes to our mind, we give it the permission to completely dissolve. Now, this is one of the biggest obstacles when doing this practice, is that we don't allow the suffering to dissolve. We allow it a little bit. That's why I was using formulations like a little bit in my guided meditation. We think it is not possible to be completely happy when this and this has happened. We just think it's not possible, and even we feel guilty. We feel guilty to feel so much happiness when so much problem is there. So even when doing the practice, we limit the practice by our view of what should happen, of our view of what is allowed to happen. A little bit less suffering, okay, but not freedom. You're not getting free. No, this is outrageous. No, cannot. And this is, so when we do Tonglen properly, we should trust the self-liberation. We should trust that everything dissolves instantaneously when there is no more clinging. Suffering does not dissolve progressively. Suffering dissolves progressively when the clinging diminishes progressively. Then you see suffering dissolving progressively. But when clinging is just gone, how could suffering stay? I mean, the additional suffering, the difficult body sensations, if you have an illness or something, that will stay. Or, the political, social circumstances, they will not change. But the drama connected to that, that is just the additional fabrication. And the moment we do not nourish that fabrication anymore, the very instant, it is gone. And this is the basic trust. This is how this kind of practice works miracles. That there are always gaps possible, there are always, there's a possibility to induce moments of not clinging already in our own mind. And then by some phenomena, actually others might also feel this a little bit or a lot or whatever. Yes? So basically we are accepting that we sit in our karmic soup, you know, the soup of our projections, how we feel the world and how we interpret it, and you know, where we feel there is suffering, where we feel there is anger, there is, you know, all these kinds of love and so on. We feel that and we work with it. And whatever others trigger in us, whatever situations trigger in us, is part of the food for practice. It feeds our practice. Okay? That's the intermediate teaching now, before we do the next practice. Oh, maybe it's too much, huh? Next time we sit together. Let's use 15 minutes just to sit quietly and to digest. And maybe the breathing in and the breathing out with the attitude of connecting with the whole world. This whole world, you can rightly say, is my world. I cannot breathe in any other world than the world of my perception. Okay, I'm using my on purpose, because it will liberate on the spot when you don't believe in it anymore. It is there, it is felt, and that which I feel is only one part, one aspect of reality. It's just that aspect, or those aspects that this mind with its patterns allows me to perceive. So what we call the world is actually just what comes to mind. That is the world of now. In this we breathe in, and no work to do. Breathing in the space of wisdom. And why not offering love to this world of projections? It cannot do any harm. Maybe offering a little joy to it. How about a little sense of humor? And sometimes you might hear voices saying, but the world is terrible. Yes, yes, this is only one way of seeing it. Thank you so much.